discussion about height is that we go through everything except number one, the height, and see where we are, and then come back and do that and sort that out.
Well, may I have something else other than height for number one?
Well, my suggestion is let's leave number one aside and go through all the
number one.
Do 2, 3, 4, 5.
Gotcha.
Because I thought maybe we could
with
move
that.
Those
yes.
along.
Good idea. Let's do it. So,
I suggest by acclamation that 1, 2 through 6 we agree with.
I do basically agree. I just want to ask about on 2, what kind of stepping down are you thinking of? Or what you showed in the picture, is the picture part of the draft? Or
any project has to do a shadow study. And we can't really predict the shape of buildings here, but they have to allow adequate light.
So the standard will be the text underneath in order to increase the pedestrian and the dining. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay, Mr. Bryant.
So 2 through 6 are approved.
So back to 1.
Now, what do you want to talk about?
Why not? Now, height. Well, I mean, maybe we ought to find out whether there was any disagreement on the zoning as well, just so we could know whether we're...
Any objection to CBD2?
No.
No.
No objection. All right.
Remember, it's the same density.
Right.
And you don't get the optional method unless you have housing. So it's really the same zone, which is...
If you're happy, we're...
I'm happy.
Now, on height, the difficulty that I'm having is this. I don't know what a recommended... I'm trying to... It's feeling a little bit like the former president does is mean is. What do we mean by a maximum height recommended? Do we mean that's how much we think it should be no matter what you're doing with it? We think that's the maximum height unless you've got a really good plan for it, and then we think it's, that's MPDUs. But what is 140?
I struggle as much as you're going to struggle here shortly. What we mean is we're going with the zone. Now, part of the zone is the site plan actually determines what the final height is, particularly when you go above the minimums, except along Old Georgetown Road, where you're closest to the community. We want to have some notion of a step down there. The question for me and for Marilyn and myself is how to put that into text, language, in this sector plan.
John, I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too. 143 is the maximum that the zone allows.
143 does, but there is a provision in some of those zones that allows you to go higher if the planning board determines at the time of site plan it's compatible.
And so when you say 143, you mean 143 and don't go higher?
We mean go with the zone. Go with what the zone standards are.
So you're not recommending 143. You're recommending that we not have a separate height limit.
Right. So and how do we say that in a cogent way? And that's what we're struggling with.
You're just recommending the zone, and if with the permission of the planning board, they could still go to 200?
Well, you shouldn't be putting, or my view is you shouldn't be putting the 200 in a sector plan because that is a site plan finding. In the zone, it says the height limit, and this is 143. Then it says you can go to 200 if the planning board says it's compatible and it doesn't impact adjacent property areas.
So
my perspective is that you shouldn't put in the master plan that automatically it's okay to go to 200 feet.
Well, but no. I mean, one might put in the master
plan. You're not precluding it either.
You're not precluding
right.
it. If you're not precluding it, I guess...
Then there's no ambiguity.
Why do we have that? Why are we saying... If we thought... in some places, we might go to a place and say, I don't care what the zone is. This shouldn't be higher than X. That's... This is as high as it should go. That's it. That's what we think. And I take it you're not saying that.
Except along this small area along Old Georgetown.
So, but for the rest of it, you're not saying that. And then why would we even actually say anything about height?
We could, in this master plan, there's the famous drawing number 39, page 39. It has height limits for every property in the CBD. We're attempting to amend that.
Oh, that's what the amendment is, yeah.
We could just put sort of a see the zone for the Woodmont Triangle. That would be another way to do this.
Why isn't this an illustrative discussion that says in this area of the sector plan you normally go to 143 feet and be on notice that if it's appropriate that the planning board determines it appropriate, you can go to 200 feet?
And put some kind of note on that map.
Put it on the map or just make it descriptive.
Or you can just do as you said, and that is you making no recommendation for changing the zoning of the sector.
Where's the map? That I'm looking at.
It's in the sector plan itself on page 39.
Is that in this packet?
No.
Is it in the Woodmont Triangle?
Is it in the first handout?
I think it's in the Woodmont Triangle Amendment, isn't it, Marilyn?
Good. It's
not in here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what the offending map is.
I'm confused about why
that's
this can't be simpler.
Is it this?
That's it.
Yes.
That's
is it?
It? That's it.
Is it page 17 in the draft?
Okay. This
page
is...
Page 8. Something.
What page is it on?
Page 8.
Okay.
I would recommend that if the proposed building heights are do what the zone says, then in the places where it's do what the zone says, we should write do what the zone says.
Okay. That's another way to
My
do
only
it.
Concern
Except
with
along Old Georgetown Road.
Where you have a different recommendation.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just with what the zone recommends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
except
now
along Old Georgetown.
If you're going to just do what the zone recommends, then somewhere in the sector plan, have a table that says what each zone recommends. So someone doesn't have to go to the zoning code and look it up. They can go to the sector plan, and they're on notice that for this particular piece of this location, the zone provides 143 feet, and it can go to 200 feet.
I'm not sure that would be a good idea because the zoning code may change long before the master plan is...
It seems
okay,
like...
All right, that's a fair point, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, it seems like we should...
There is some issue of notice here.
It seems like we should do the map. Just do the map, and then, you know, what happens in terms of...
Amend
the map.
Everyone seems to agree that for the properties that we're recommending at CBD2, that they should be... They should have a height limit of 143 feet if they go optional, and they might get 200 at site plan under the same circumstances as any other CBD2 site would get, except along Old Georgetown Road where we're recommending we stick to the pre-existing height limits, right?
Right.
And also...
No.
Why can't we just rely on makes the most sense.
The one difference is that Norfolk steps down, so that even though Norfolk...
Well, that's
still
item two.
Guidelines.
That's controlled through your design guidelines.
That's not true.
I have another question
about
that.
That is a change, because...
And you're saying that might... That the height limits are subject to the step-down requirement.
Right, exactly.
Is that what
because
you
intended, right? Otherwise, you could go...
Make sure you're clear about that, too.
You could go to 143 to the street.
Okay. And it's not just CBD2, it's CBD1 and R10. There's a lot of different zones in it.
Okay.
I'm sure you can find a way to write it.
I think
we need to agree
on
the principles, let them write it.
Yeah, we agree.
Anything else?
Yes. Now, I'm going to propose a concept, and I want you at least to listen before you jump on me. All right?
Getting ready? Okay.
Just listen.
Who jumps on you, Allison?
Once you hear it, I'm not sure who it's been. I would like to say, what the public says, and that is, obviously, my way is the way you should go. But in any event, we have a witness here to optional method development with MPDUs on site.
Where are you? What page?
Page 9. We're looking at number 1, the same thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I would like to emphasize that a little differently. I would like to say with MPDUs and or whatever the term might be, a continuum of other affordable housing on site. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that we have a tendency to say MPDU because that's on the lowest rung of the affordable housing scale, and that's what we usually use as the marker because of the law, etc. However, there is nothing that precludes our suggesting that not only should we look at those people on the lowest end of the economic strata, but the middle end, etc. I think a very, very good, I was having this conversation with a county council person, and I thought he used an excellent example. And when I was talking to him about this idea, and he said, well, yes, the way it currently is written, a teacher can afford to live in an MPDU unit, but if the teacher is married to another teacher, then it kicks them out of the eligibility requirements. So essentially what I was talking to this particular person about was, why not look at the notion of a continuum of affordable housing that falls under the jurisdiction of Elizabeth Davidson's office, because they have several programs. And what I'm suggesting is that this, in fact, could give a developer more options in terms of how to meet and match the kind of not only housing, but also the income levels within that housing. So that's the idea. Now jump.
Well, no, I won't jump. But my only question, why doesn't the market handle that? I don't understand why that isn't a market issue. Because, you know, you decide to build a building and you decide on the size of your units and the price of your units, and you can decide to aim at an income level that, you know, is, what, 120% above the median.
One of the reasons that if you leave it to the market, you may not be able to achieve what you want to achieve. I'll just use the brownstones up at Veers Mill, Reedy Drive, and all that. When they first started, you remember that they indicated they were going to build these townhouses, and the townhouses were going to start in the upper threes. There was a waiting list to just sign up, and then they went to the fours.
And the fives.
Then they went next week to the upper fives. Then when they finally broke ground, they went to the sixth. So the marketplace is driven in such a way that those who have can go out and be competitive. But that's still, and there are some who get the benefit of the MPDU option, but a small majority of people, not a majority, a small sector of the people get the advantage of that. So you still leave the majority of people between those who are at the low income and those who are at the affordability income who have to live someplace else anyway as a result. And we're making the provisions for those people in between. And I'm suggesting that we might want to think about those people who are still income eligible for other programs that fall under community development. And this might be a way of beginning that process.
Here's the concern that I have. First of all, I think I need to understand this sentence. Properties in CBD 1 zone can achieve 90 feet if they build MPDUs on site. Is that a special height limit, or is this back to our discussion about that's what the law allows? Where's that coming from?
That's what the zone allows.
That's what the zone allows.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so that would probably be, again, something you want to be careful. If all you're saying is you can do what the zone allows you to do,
you should say that.
Then say that. Now, if what you're saying is we should change the zoning law so that, or when the MPDU legislation is in front of the council, they should take a broader notion of MPDUs.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that
and we might want to set the tone for it here.
But I think that, but this is not the place to do that. This is about this sentence is the translation of this sentence is you can do what the zone allows. It's not saying you can do. It's not. I don't understand this as sort of setting some different criteria about affordable housing than it is anywhere else in the county. It's you can do what the zone allows with respect to height. Now, if we want to offer something different here, that you can do more than the zone allows, or you can do something different than the zone allows, that's a much bigger discussion. That's not dealt with. I don't think we deal with that by saying, well, you can do 90 feet if you do MPDUs, which is what the zone allows, mm-hmm. or some other program that doesn't exist.
What about if, but what, I hear where you're going, and I gave that some consideration, and I said it's very, very simple, because you go back to being generic in your language, and instead of saying optional method development with MPDUs on site, optional method of development with affordable housing on site.
And
by saying affordable housing, MPDUs fall within that bailiwick, and therefore it is also leaving it open for any kind of changes that might occur.
Well, we will leave it by saying you can do what the zone allows. We leave it open for whatever changes in the law happen. I'm not comfortable saying something you can do it. You can do more, get more height if there's affordable units, because the developer comes in and says, "Well, the standard unit's 1.5 million, and I'll have three units that are only a mere 850. A mere million. See, that's affordable. We don't have unless there's they are our criteria. I don't think development review can be the determinant of what constitutes affordable housing. We have an MPDU law. Maybe it's too limited. Then we need a different regulatory scheme. But I'm not comfortable with some open-ended notion that the developer would come in and say, "Well, look, this is I've got some units that are more affordable than the others." Or we just don't have an administrative mechanism to deal with it.
Well, let me raise a concept for Allison. I know he's going to be surprised that I come to his defense on this, or to a certain extent. But actually, you know, Allison, you raise an important point, which is we're doing a master plan, and master plans are about setting goals for what you want a community to be like, and what you see, you know, is the community, how you want it to develop. So, while I agree, I also agree with what Wendy said. So we can now do kumbaya to Berrien, because I do agree. I don't see right in here, but just like I was saying earlier, that to deal with the amenities, we could have transfers of density. Mm-hmm. We could consider, and we might need another work session on this. I don't think this is something we can all work out right now. It's complicated. Transfers of density in order to preserve the affordable housing that actually already exists in this area. I don't know if you know about the garden apartments on Battery Marine.
Yes, I do. Yes.
There are extensive garden apartments. It's an incredible location, and by dint of their age and how long they've been there, et cetera, they are very affordable. This plan is going to say goodbye to them. And we have the ironic situation of, in order to encourage MPDUs, we're actually very likely to end up getting rid of the most affordable housing, possibly in all of Bethesda. There is some affordable housing in the lower part of Bethesda right there by Arlington Road, very affordable. But that's one thing. The other thing is to consider transfer to density to try to preserve some of those garden apartments. The other mechanism could be to ask Lizard Davison's organization or HOC or whatever to consider. They're already doing one project. I think I don't think this is in Woodmont Triangle, I think it's below Woodmont Triangle, but on public land where they are building, they're taking a home and renovating it and turning it into a much larger group home that's going to be extremely affordable, mm-hmm. to, you know, work with them to encourage those kinds of projects to get more affordable housing.
Now, is this a zoning issue, or is this something where you say it's a matter of policy in writing the sector plan, we would encourage that certain programs be developed to preserve this type of housing or to pursue certain type of situations which are not accommodated under the current MPDU program because of the step economic function we're talking about, Allison, and for illustrative purposes, here's the zone, here are some of the problems that could flow from the zone. The apartment buildings go away. Therefore, we recommend that,
well, I think
that the council pursues, you know, in this area, that the council pursue this type of program.
Well, that language would, in fact, capture not only what I'm saying, but I think it would also capture what Meredith is saying,
yes.
from that standpoint. And, quite frankly, it's consistent with the whole notion that you have about trying to provide for housing for artists. So that it gets at all of those issues from that standpoint.
Because the problem you're facing is that one teacher may qualify for the MPDU, but if you put two teachers together, they don't have enough income to afford the market unit because there's such a gap between the cost of an MPDU unit and the market unit.
Yes.
There's this huge gap that they can't get over.
So that's...
Say that.
That's what I'm trying to get at. And I think that the way you phrased it does capture that, and I am surprised, but thank you.
Everyone in agreement with that approach?
I'm not entirely sure I understand. I think I'm in agreement. I'm not sure I...
What I'm suggesting is that the concern that Allison's expressed and that Meredith has supported is that can't be tied to technical zoning language because it's a broader policy issue. You might want to raise in the sector plan, here's a group of apartments that should be taken to preserve these apartments as affordable housing. So we recommend the following, either the following special techniques or whatever, to highlight in the sector plan certain areas where you think special action should be taken to preserve that type of housing. But it's very hard to tie that to a specific zoning structure, which I think
the way you phrase it is that because of the extraordinarily high real estate prices in this sector plan area, the provision of MPDUs serves only those households earning 60% of median or less. There is a huge jump from there to the household income necessary to afford a market rate unit in this area, and the council should explore ways to create opportunities for households earning above 60% of median but less than enough to qualify for a market rate unit. Should explore ways of helping those households obtain housing in the sector plan area. And I don't know that you can say much more than that. And it's in the nature of a recommendation. It doesn't have any real force, clearly.
Well, what I'm saying is if we look to preserve existing housing, the reason But you wouldn't penalize the owner as long as that owner could transfer the density that they could otherwise build to someone else and get the money for it.
It's almost like a TDR kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Within the sector plan area, and that would give Lenny is not here. I can't pick on him, but that would give Lenny Greenberg an opportunity to still go and develop what he wants to develop, while also preserving not only those townhouses on Battery Lane, but there was another word that we didn't use, but that's not only affordable housing, that's community. And that's a viable community from that standpoint. So you're helping to maintain the viability of an existing community.
I think it's a great idea. The way the initial point is still the most persuasive to me, which is what you're suggesting is months and months of work I mean, the MPDU program, after 25 years, we still haven't got it just right. So, you know, and its administration by DHCA and by HOC requires, you know, thousands of person hours a year to administer. So any new program is going to require the same kind of investment.
You know,
you can't just do that with, you know, a paragraph in a master plan.
Well, I understand, but you know what I believe? I believe that the private sector, and they're listening to this, they are so creative that they have already started thinking in terms of how they can employ this concept to do more, to get more of what they want, while at the same time meeting...
Then you've achieved your goal.
Well, listen, Lowell, I'd like to take it a little farther if my colleagues reflect on it. I think the TDR concepts is a good analogy. We'd have a paragraph possibly that discusses this issue. And then you might want to say in the sector plan on certain areas suitable for this concept, because there are some areas that are particularly suitable for it.
Right.
And you might want this transferable density targeted to those areas, not just anywhere in the CBD, but going over the housing stock.
Mm-hmm.
Here are specific areas that if this concept is adopted, then it would be targeted to those areas.
I guess what I'd like to suggest is, I mean, it sounds like an interesting idea. I'd kind of like to get give staff an opportunity to...
Right.
I'm not prepared to say, oh, yeah, I'll buy into that, because without a better sense of how much density we're talking about, transfer it. So you're going to transfer it where? Where's it going to go? How do you get?
Those are completely
legitimate
concerns.
How do you take advantage of the density? But unless you're prepared to say you can transfer it and build 300, 400 feet, that would be one way to take advantage of it. What does this mean?
Just so, one time somewhere in the county of a 500-foot building.
Maybe the planning board would be a little more receptive from going to 143 feet and 200 feet at the right side place if you did this.
I need more. It sounds like maybe it would work,
we can do it as a matter of discretion.
Examination by staff.
I think you guys, as we can go, give it a try.
Yeah, see.
Right. Any other issues?
And keep in mind the suggestion about maybe that's where you get from 143 to 200.
Any other issues?
The only thing that I brought up, which is in the final section on implementation,
mm-hmm.
you already had it in your first draft, but just to reiterate that you had the idea of the transfer of density, we just raised it for housing, but you had it already for the amenities.
Yes.
And the idea of the overlay zone, you know, to give us some indications when you come back of how would we implement the amenities.
Okay.
Because we haven't ever had a fund before, and it's really going to come down to the actual nuts and bolts of the implementation.
Okay. Well, this is a work session, so we don't need to take a vote, and this will be brought back to us in a couple of weeks. And let's proceed to the Damascus Master Plan. We have a staff draft, and the purpose of this item is to hopefully approve the staff draft as a public hearing draft and schedule a public hearing for November 4th. That public hearing will be held in Rockville in the County Council chambers.
So for your next victim, we're...
Bring her on!
This reads more like a rescue operation. Having driven down through Damascus last weekend, I think there's some validity to it. So.
This is the third in a series. You survived Upper Rock Creek. You have survived Olney so far. We're up at council, as you know now. This is the third, and as you know, what I've been trying to bring to you is plans in a series. We're going to carry on the thoughts of improving the town centers like we did in Olney. This will bring forward the Damascus Town Center. And yes, we have used the RNC zone again. A little different twist to it this time, but with the same general open space twist. And then preserving the agricultural area is the third piece of this. I hope you're seeing additional exuberance in this plan. You've got Judy Daniel and Malika Abernethy on this. You can see just the form of the plan is a bit different.
Yeah.
The color drawings inside, the photographs. This is not just decorating the plan. This is to make it more readable, make it easy for all of us to understand exactly what's recommending. And then, of course, you just have Judy and Malaika, and their writing of the plan, I think, is a step up. So,
what writing is excellent.
Yes, I thought so.
Really excellent.
Some say imitation is the greatest form of flattery. We don't do that in community-based planning. Imitation is the greatest way to failure. So we try to do better each time.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's great.
So we've got Judy and Malaika show.
Thank you, Judy. Daniel, glad to be here. I'm just going to ask, given the time, I have a 10-minute slideshow. Do you still want to see it?
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're very thank you. Laser pointer. We're very glad to be here with the Damascus Master Plan. I will say for Malaika and I both and the whole staff who worked with the community that it has been a very enjoyable experience. This is a delightful, pragmatic, enthusiastic, committed group of citizens and property owners, and we really enjoyed working with them. There were a lot more of them here. They didn't plan on encountering the Purple Line crowd, so some of them gave up and went home. In fact, I noticed that a number of the Purple Line people took Damascus staff dress with them, so it should be interesting if they like that. We do have, I think, one speaker signed up who was very deeply involved in our Master Plan Review Committee, and he will be talking to you after this. There are some other residents here, and we're glad they could attend. Okay, so let me get back over here. I think it'd be easier. This is a master plan, and we have several tasks today. Very briefly, we're going to describe the process we use for this plan and some of the major recommendations, and then ask you to set the public hearing date. Next. We used a twist on the task force process that was used in Olney. We set up five different task forces. Anyone was welcome to join any or all of the task forces. These are the number of people signed up for each of these task forces. We had some people who signed up for four or five, and some people just one or two. We've held over 19 meetings, and we've presented the final recommendations to the community in early September. Next. They functioned, I'm sure, as they did in Olney, in that we presented the issues on these various topics. We went over how these issues related to existing plans and policies in the county, had extensive discussions. We left plenty of time for community discussion of these, and we came back with final recommendations. Most issues we were able to resolve amicably. There were a few outstanding issues due to policy conflicts, and sometimes we just had to make a recommendation in the master plan where someone wasn't totally happy with. Next. All right. These recommendations reflect a community, again, that is totally committed to the centrality of their town center. This is a small town. They want to remain a cohesive small town, and protecting that and enhancing it was, I think, the centerpiece of everything we heard in Damascus. Next. The plan led to a vision with five different elements related, again, to the town center, protecting the residential neighborhoods, protecting the agricultural reserve, providing better connectivity through traffic, and connectivity were main issues for the people here, and then the green environment and enhancement protection. Next. Of the housing recommendations, we got very excited about our housing recommendations here. Generally, since the town center is the focus of the plan, we did recommend means to achieve more housing in the town center, not necessarily increase the density, but make it easier for housing to happen. Next, we have specific proposals for senior housing, which is the one primary need in the community. Damascus has the most balanced housing opportunities, existing opportunities, about any place in the county. And then we are using, as John noted, the rural neighborhood cluster to achieve smaller lot development and primarily existing densities, except there are two TDR receiving sites proposed. Next. Of the transportation recommendations, the primary concern is through traffic. The morning and evening rush hours for people going northward out of the county into Frederick and Carroll County is very problematic. So there's a lot of recommendations to work on that traffic flow issue and to make safer and more and better access for bikers and pedestrians. Next. Of the environmental regulations, I think the main thing you remember with Damascus is it is watershed central, headwater central.
Yep.
Four major streams begin in the town center. The northeast is in the Patuxent, Great Seneca, Magruder, Bennett, Little Bennett. So this is the top of the hill, and so protecting those wetlands, those stream valleys, was central in everything we did. Next. Parkland, there are proposals to develop or increase facilities, existing parks in the area. There's a good number of parks that service it, but they're under-facilitated, I guess. It's and then two areas are designated for extra parkland in the Little Bennett Watershed and the western tributary of Seneca Creek. Next. Trails recommendations. The trail recommendations do reflect the county trails plan, and we work closely with Lynn Coleman to have that synchronicity. And then we are having a proposal to finish the Magruder path all the way up into the town and provide a trailhead park there. Next. Legacy open space. This was perhaps one of the most difficult issues we had to deal with because there was some misunderstanding about the nature of the program that we were able to work out. Legacy is recommending two areas, number one and number two there in Bennett Creek and Patuxent River area, for protection through easements. Through liberal, excuse me, legacy open space. And then the Little Bennett area, number two on the map, is going to be is designated for acquisition. Next. Community facilities. The major new facility opening up is the Damascus Recreation Center, which will open up in October. We're really looking forward to that. The communities are excited about it, but there are additional facilities needed there, and we have recommended that it needs to be augmented as soon as possible, along with the evaluation of a need for an aquatic facility. Other than that, that's pretty well served with community facilities. Next. The Historic Preservation Group is working kind of on a parallel track with us. They couldn't be at the same time. There are probably more historic resources potentially in the Damascus planning area than most anyplace else, and there was no time to do it. They've completed two of the planning areas. There's another two to go.
And when we discuss, I have a lot of, not a lot, but some questions about the intended use for that theater.
Well, it's Rite Aid right now. It's functioning as a Rite Aid for the time being. So a lot of drug stores in Damascus. So it's still there. And when we get ready to discuss it, Claire will be with us. So those are some interesting discussions, by the way, when it gets to you on a separate track. There are some concerns on some of the properties in the lower part of the planning area. Next. Okay, land use, the biggie. For this plan, I would say we follow these general visions expressed by the community of enhancing the center, protecting the neighborhoods, and providing better connectivity. We try to integrate within the land use planning the housing, the environmental, the transportation concerns. All of that was taken into account. Next slide. I do want you to pay attention to this when you get to reading the plan. At the Town Center Charette, we've kicked off the process. They spent a lot of time working on this vision statement, and it was refined throughout the process of the task forces. And so it's a vital part of the plan and really seems to express the deep feelings of the residents of this community for their town. Next. This is the Town Center concept. The idea here is to replace, as we're talking about in other areas, the hodgepodge mishmash of a bunch of different zones with basically two mixed-use zones in the town center, one not, you know, it's a, both mixed use, but one has a little more residential potential than the other. And this, the one toward the center, the deeper purple, would be more stressing commercial. And again, the concept is that by allowing or encouraging more residential in the town center, you're going to build a better market for more community-oriented retail and having more good retail oriented toward their town, not a regional market, is what the community wanted to see. Next. For the transition areas, these are just outside the town and along the major roadways. Again, we're stressing the use of the RNC zone because it allows the smaller lot cluster, which gives us the environmental advantages and the community character advantages. Small lot, single family is a traditional and accepted and desired pattern in this small town. And historic there. We have guidelines for cluster development proposed, and again, the two TDR receiving areas. Next. In the rural areas, primarily it confirms and the existing extent of the RDT zone and specifically supports emerging agricultural methods and ag-related businesses that keep the ag reserve a viable working landscape. We are proposing here kind of a new, well, it's not new actually, but it's guidelines for subdivision development in the RDT zone within this plan. We've had a lot of conversations in the past several years and concerns about subdivision design in the RDT zone. So we thought we would use this plan as an opportunity to include for that zone within this plan guidelines, not requirements, for how we develop those lots. So have a look at that. They're very similar to what you looked at several years ago. Establish guidelines for rural vista protection for special exceptions. A deep concern of many residents here is specially sets and uses that are very tall that may impede the sidelines in this, again, very high area. So it would have a great impact. So they really wanted to see that as a part of the plan. And as proposed in the 1980 Agriculture and Rural Open Space Plan, for the initially, we're proposing a new zone, a small hamlet, rural village mixed-use zone for a couple of the villages that are in this master plan area. This has been a proposal for a long time, so hopefully we can see that kind of protection for them. Next. Okay, water and sewer. Okay, sewer. It's going to be limited in Damascus because of technical realities. Everything has to get into Magruder Branch to get down to the treatment plant. So where we are proposing additional sewer, it's mainly through gravity flow. However, that being said, there are a number of older subdivisions along the main roads that have failing septic systems and degradation that at some point that issue will have to be addressed, and that's brought up through the plan. Next. So that's it. That's in a quick nutshell, given the hour of the day and your light reading available for you. We are here to answer any questions. Most of the staff is here who worked on the plan, and it has been a great pleasure to work with our creative and talented staff on this. We ask you to approve this as a public hearing draft and to set November 4th, 2004 for the public hearing date.
I have several questions. I want to get to that point. I'd like to go, first of all, to page 12, Land Use Vision and Development Areas. Again, we have this concern about housing, so I'd like to understand a little more about the specifics. And then I have a related transportation question. So we go up Bridge Road through Clarksburg, and we get to a park that runs across the lower left-hand corner of that page. There's a park line that goes across. That's all Clarksburg Master Plan, the lower park. What's the nature of the zoning in the Clarksburg Master Plan between the park and the sector plan boundaries? You go north on 27.
It's not actually adjacent to Clarksburg Master Plan. It's adjacent to the portions of the old boundaries of the Damascus Master Plan. They were changed at the Planning Board's request for this plan, and below that is actually part of the Agricultural and Rural Open Space Plan before Clarksburg. Where's that drawn?
Okay, you've answered my question. So what's the zoning along there?
Okay. Rural density transfer.
Rural density,
yes.
RDT.
Yes.
So I'll tell you the source of my question. So then we go on up, and you're suggesting what's going to be the zoning, the density per acre on You have a table, but it's easier for me to work from just from the map. As you move up Ridge Road to the north, you have this on the left and the right of you have the east and the west of Ridge Road. Could you explain to me what the density would look like?
Oh, it would be proposing no changes to the density on the east side of Ridge Road.
That's and what would that density be?
It varies. There are townhouse densities. There are PD zones. There are R200 zones. It's on the existing zoning map. If that's on page 95.
Right.
Okay. You can see that there is a mix. There's rural townhouse zones. Oh, God, I can't see at this level. Okay, thank you. So, townhouse 12.5 that is just being developed right now, I think that's the one. Townhouse 6 units per acre, R60, these are R200 right in here where it's yellow, R150, so it's a mix on the east side. The left side is all developed for the most part, R200, R150, R90, RE2. There's a few undeveloped properties in the RE2 zone over here.
Okay, my question is that I think needs to be explored is, if you look at this map, there's two major transportation corridors. There's 108, which goes down through Damascus Road, 124, I'm not sure where I understand that comes out, but it must join 108 further down. You go down 108 through Laytonville, it's very rural. I mean, there's almost no development. Once you clear the boundaries of Damascus. You
know. Correct.
You go down 27, it's real very mixed. As you notice, there's some place where there's single families, there's some place where there's townhouses. And it goes straight to I-270. You know, so the transportation route is really down 27 to 270, but that's not marked as a major arterial, I believe.
Yes.
It is. Okay. Yes. It is. Okay.
Yes, on the transportation. If you have a transportation chapter, it's definitely major arterial.
All right. Page 51.
Dan's here if you have any questions about that.
What I'm asking is in terms of the, it's a very mixed housing style. It looks very different as you go down 27. And your recommendation is still basically to keep it the same. It's an arterial, not a major highway. Why isn't 27 all the way from Route 70 to 270, why isn't it a major highway like 108? That's my transportation question.
Mr. Hardy will answer that.
Sure. For the record, Dan Hardy with Transportation Planning. I think for the most part, what we were looking at the Damascus plan was if it's broke, fix it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And essentially, from a perspective of what are the classifications of those state highways, we're basically retaining what was in the 1993 plan.
What I'm asking is, quite frankly, is whether that is realistic when you have what is essentially one of the major arterials that practically connects I-70 and I-270, you know, Clarksburg through to Mount Airy.
One thing we did do is to add some additional roads to the designation, particularly Long Corner Road, Annapolis Rock Road, a piece of Bethesda Church Road, recognizing we're building, in our transportation view, we're building off of that network of two-lane roads that exist today.
I'm going to interrupt here and just point out that since the issue before us is whether to issue this as a staff draft, my suggestion would be if there are particular things that you would want information about at a future time, you can make that request. It doesn't strike me that this is the occasion for a
all right, well, then I would stand corrected about that, but I think there's a real issue about how realistic that is. And I'm also confused by the staff recommendation, quite frankly, to keep everything on the east side of 27 basically the same, given a housing crisis, and not to increase the density along that corridor. I can see why you wouldn't want to increase it north of Damascus, why you wouldn't want to increase it on 108, and this is directed to the planning staff, when it's already essentially been so chopped up along 27. I was out there last weekend, and I drove both 27 and 108. Why are we maintaining it the same when it's already lost its rural character?
This is not rural in character at all. This is extremely suburban in character, and there's not probably 6 acres that aren't developed there already. This is developed out. It is. We would be tearing down existing stable
single-family neighborhoods
now
in order to redevelop.
Now you've answered the question. I think that should be reflected more in the staff draft.
Excellent.
That is a very, or eventually, that's a very stable neighborhood. There's nothing to be gained by changing the zone.
Thank you. We'll point that out. Appreciate it.
Okay. Did we hear from David?
No, we did not.
Okay, I won't ask any more questions given the hour and that there's some people that want to speak to the plan. Matt?
And I don't, I mean, my understanding is that this is not the point at which we change the staff draft. We're going to make...
Certainly not.
We're going to vote on whether to issue this or not. You can vote against issuing it.
No, I won't vote against issuing it.
But other than that, this is not where we start changing it.
Two questions of clarification. The first one is at the beginning on page 2. Under housing, it talks about a summary of major recommendations in this plan follows. Is there something missing?
No, it's under the town center transition area.
Well,
that's all
that?
The recommendations. Not,
not just the housing. Not just the housing.
Okay,
all
so you're saying that, okay.
Thank
I
you.
I misunderstood that. All right, now going to page 72. You have the last bullet about the three undeveloped school sites. You said it should go into public ownership as parkland to provide the anticipated recreation and open space opportunities that would have been provided by the schools. I was a little chagrined by that.
What page are you on? I'm sorry.
72.
Thank you.
Because throughout the report, we talk in terms of how this essentially is, in fact, a lot of open green space. And we also talk about the need for more housing in this area. And I was just wondering why the recommendation didn't talk in terms of considering for housing, because it seemed like those sites would be excellent for housing.
I'd be happy to address it. I think we did mention it in the housing chapter. Number one, there is not... The primary reason there's not too much additional housing recommended is because this is in the rural policy area where it was specifically recommended that we not create extensive additional housing. Number two, those sites have no public water and no public sewer, and there's a very limited amount of housing that could be created on them. Number three, the school board really has no intentions of releasing them anyway. And Parks, our staff, did recommend that if they should, they would be appropriate for parkland because of the lost opportunities. But it is that policy issue for the housing in the rural policy area and the lack of infrastructure to support much housing that guided that recommendation.
Okay.
The rural policy area and the RTD zone considered synonymous?
According to my understanding of the extensive studies that were done on housing with the transportation policy report, this whole area is part of the rural area. It's not supposed to get much housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The rural policy area is bigger than just... It's not coincident with RDT zoning, although they largely... overlap.
Largely coincidence.
It's largely coincident.
But not completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there's lots of land in Damascus and Poolsville area and along the major thoroughfares that's not zoned RDT, even though everything else pretty much is. And there may be some RDT land outside. There's probably no RDT land outside the rural policy area. Right?
I don't know.
But not everything in the rural policy area is RDT. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear from the one speaker before we do anything else. Daniel King from the Damascus Community Alliance.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm speaking not only for myself as an individual, but Randy Scritchfield, who is the head of the Damascus Community Alliance, could not be here today. He asked me to extend his apologies. He has read the remarks I'll be making, and the Alliance agrees with them as well. Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, I do very much appreciate the opportunity to comment. But my objective is really to comment on the process, not so much the details of the plan. My family has lived in the Damascus area since the middle 1700s, and I mention that only to point out that we care deeply about what happens in this plan and the success of the plan. To be successful, I think any master plan has to present a vision for the community, employ proven planning concepts, be supported by those within the community who are in a position to make it happen, and to address the main problems faced by the community. Regarding a vision for our community, I think the town center charrette that was employed at the beginning of the process was particularly useful, and if anything, in fact, we could have spent more time on that. I think it would have been even more useful. But it served not only as an opportunity for us who live there to think about where we have been and where we're headed, but also as a chance to meet others who would be involved in the planning process over a period of time that extended, I guess at this point, almost 2 years. Regarding the process, throughout the process, there are professionals in transportation, environment, parks, historic preservation. Everybody participated. They got to share their ideas. Some of the ideas were supported. Some of the ideas were not supported. But the main thing was that everyone who participated in the process did have an opportunity to hear those ideas and decide for themselves. I was particularly pleased to see an emphasis on a walkable, mixed-use community that provides for additional residential development within the town center to support a variety of business activities. Regarding involving those in the community who can make a plan a reality, I think the staff was very successful at involving key property owners, developers, business owners, community groups, but I was disappointed that the large business chains and the investment companies that own the shopping centers failed to participate in any, in my view at least, significant or visible way. Finally, regarding the main problems facing the community, I think those were addressed as well. However, most people are disappointed that more could not have been done in the area of traffic congestion. Because much of the traffic that is passes through the planning area originates from counties to the north of us, it was outside the chart of the staff, as I understand it, to address them. But traffic congestion probably remains the single most festering problem in Damascus. Overall, I think the entire process was very professionally done. Ms. Daniel always led the process with a firm hand, but faultless good humor, tireless energy, and I was pleased to hear that she's not mad at us. And there were times when she sure could have been. Mike Abernathy and other members of Ms. Daniel's staff put in endless hours in the community, innumerable meetings, and most impressive to me, they answered every phone call and every email immediately and completely. And that's all I think we could really ask for. If I could make one final comment, Randy Spitzfield asked that I also just make it a matter of record that we really appreciate the efforts that a gentleman by the name of Everett Jones, who is deceased now in our community, put into the planning efforts that led up to the current effort. So thank you very much for your time.
He once served on this planning commission, didn't he?
I believe
a long
did,
time
yes.
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes. So
thank you.
Planning commissioners just keep going and going and going.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
In fact, there is legislation pending to make me commissioner for life, but that's a whole other question, though. But it was something I did.
Yeah, but it's not pending here.
Then for balance, we should add Meredith to the bill.
Oh, Lord.
Got my address.
There was something I didn't quite understand. Your reference to, you said something about participation by change did not occur.
Yeah, what I really meant by that was, for example, the Safeway store in Damascus is probably the 800-pound gorilla driving a lot of things that happens in that shopping center, and that shopping center in turn is owned by an investment company that I believe I'm correct in saying that is outside of the area. We would hope that those, but again, back to the idea of making the plan a reality, you need the participation and the support of those kind of groups. And I think a lot of us had hoped that they would be more active in the process than they apparently will.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't mean they won't make their views known at whatever they consider the appropriate time, but they were not actively working with a lot of the citizens during the meetings and deliberations that we had.
But in spite of their lack of participation when it comes to the recommendations made for that particular site and other chains that are up there. In fact, as I understand, there's a drugstore in the Druid building.
Right.
And they didn't participate either, I'm assuming. But you don't...
Ms. Daniel have to answer the extent to which they may have participated directly with her. All I'm suggesting is that in the community forums, they were not heavily involved.
The big issue is with that is that it's the older subdivision that's been in a hole for 20 years, and with the completion of Woodfield Extended up to Ridge that's pending now, they're close to starting construction, it's going to be redeveloped. We have met, Miguel and I met with them several times, but I think they may try to go forward before this is completed. And it is a center point in the town.
Gotcha.
And I think what they want is perhaps a little more suburban than what the town wants.
Right. Well, I'm very supportive of that aspect of the plan. As I said, I had to go to Frederick on Sunday, and I came back down through Damascus because I wanted to see the community before we even voted on the staff draft.
Right.
And I am very strongly supportive of the mixed-use concept, and I understand your concerns because the way the center of the town is laid out now and the style of the buildings, if you want to recapture some of the spirit of your